Welcome to Spirited Word. By God's Word proclaimed, the Holy Spirit works faith in God's grace in Jesus, when and where He pleases. Sermons by Pastor Adrian Kitson, Lutheran Church of Australia. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 5. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. The word of the Lord.
Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for these words, and we ask you, by your power of your Holy Spirit, to give us the words that Samuel was given in the end. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen to that. Amen. I like earthenware things. My lovely wife likes earthenware things. We have earthenware vases. We have earthenware plates, we have earthenware pottery plant thingies, whatever you call them, pots, that's right, pots. We like it. I like it. I like earthenware. I don't really mind if it's very colourful or whether it's not. And I'm thinking, well, why do I like earthenware? Well, I guess because it comes from the ground. That's where I come from, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. I'm a person of the ground. All people are people of the ground. Our feet are on the ground. I like the ground. I like the soil. I love the red centre. I love the beach. So I like earthenware. It's good. And I guess really I like it too because whenever I see an earthenware cup of some kind, I always kind of think Jesus. I don't know if you do. Because like, you know, first century clay cup thing. That's, you know, I kind of go there whenever I see a cup like that. And there's another reason I think that I like earthenware is because of the third Indiana Jones movie, if you can recall that, The Last Crusade, Sean Connery, the late and great River Phoenix, and of course Harrison Ford, yes, remember? And Indy has finally got to the big cave at the end of the movie. He's been searching for what? The Holy Grail, supposedly the cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper and that caught some of his blood on the cross. King Arthur legend, you know, Knights of the Round Table and all that. So he finally figures out where it is and he gets to the cave and, oh no, there's an 800-year-old knight who's been there that long guarding this plethora of cups on this long stone bench. There's hundreds, 100 cups, and they're all different sizes and shapes, and you got to choose the right one. Because if you choose the wrong one, you fry, and if you choose the right one, you live forever. Healing and life forever, eternal life. Now, of course, there's a bad guy who's also made it to the cave, so there's both of them there, and the bad guy, being a bit thoughtless, rushes in, and which cup does he pick to be the Holy Grail? Anybody know the story? Yeah. The big gold one with the jewels hanging on, dripping with gold and silver, and you know, it's all very impressive looking. And he grabs it and he dips it in the font thing and he drinks it and He's turned into a bag of bones right before your eyes. Dust. He's turned into dust. Ah, great scene. And then, but then Indy's still got to make the choice. And there's all these cups. And he's an archaeologist. It's, he thinks, first century tradie. He won't have expensive stuff. It's got to be earthenware. So he picks the earthenware cup, a little humble looking, bit weird shaped cup, drinks it. Hey, you picked the right one, beauty, eternal life. And he goes and fixes his dad up, Sean Connery, and happy ever after. So that's the reason I like earthenware cups. Just in case you're wondering about that. Anyway, now you can go see where I'm going though from the second reading. Paul says that the little cup on the thing is you and me. We're earthenware cups, we're nothing fantastic, we're not that attractive, you know, speak for yourself, but, there was more attractive people here before, not so attractive, not so sturdy, not so bulletproof as we think we are, and there's people here that know that very well, but the good news is that we contain the living water of Jesus and his gospel, which others can drink from through us and receive what we have received. So he calls Christian people, I think, crackpots. You are a bunch of crackpots. That's what you are. Especially Dave Leish. No. No. And we had Shed Happens on Friday night, and the blokes, they like being called crackpots. It was all good. But it is true, we're all crackpots. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, crackpots, we do not lose heart, says Paul to his people. Well, I suspect that there'd be for as many people that are in this building, there would be a story about losing heart. And more than one, I'd imagine, in times of life, when you've lost heart for a thing, a role, a person, a job, a career, faith, church, ministry. We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed. We are perplexed but we are not in despair. We are persecuted but not abandoned. We are struck down but we are not destroyed, says Paul. So losing heart, according to him, is like being in a garbage compactor where the walls are slowly coming in and there's only one way it's going to end. With you unable to breathe and your bones crushed. That's how he pictures losing heart. Losing heart is feeling being perplexed. What is that? I'm in doubt about myself and I'm in doubt about my present and my future. I'm in doubt about everything and I'm not sure of anything at the moment. It's that feeling you get maybe when you know that it's just, I'm not going to be able to make this one. I'm not going to be able to get through. I just know it. I haven't got what it takes to achieve that or to do that or to be that or to meet that expectation, etc., etc. Perplexed. And then maybe losing heart comes from being dismissed, discounted, put down, and not just once but repeatedly put down or even shamed or embarrassed, unfairly criticised by others over and over and over again, particularly those who know you well and you would have expected some sense of respect from. That's very difficult, and Paul knows all about this. If you know anything about the Corinthian congregation, you'd know that they are trouble with a capital T. There's lots of trouble in that community, and he's already written once to defend himself, more importantly, to defend the gospel that he preached and to try and give them some guidance on how to get out of the mess they've got themselves into. It seems like when he writes a second time here in 2 Corinthians that they haven't listened at all, and in fact they've rejected everything he's said, and in fact those who want the power of leading the community have now decided to dredge up Paul's dark past. He was a persecutor of Christians, don't you know? He held the cloaks while they stoned Stephen, the first martyr. He was an angry, horrible man, don't you know? And a little bit more gossip here, and a little bit more storytelling there, undermining everything that he stood for. So he writes again, probably feeling very dismissed repeatedly and shamed and embarrassed. Or at least he would have every right to feel that way. He knows what it is to be pressed in on every side, crushed, perplexed, in despair, persecuted, abandoned, struck down and destroyed. He knows what it is. Sounds like enough to even make the great man of faith and the greatest missionary that ever lived, even he, to lose heart. Question, what about you? How are you? How's the heart? How is it going? What's getting you down? What's making you give up? What's making you feel like giving up, even if you haven't yet, on that or this or that person or this role or that thing, that issue? What's making you feel like you're in a garbage compactor with the walls coming in and you're going to die of suffocation? What's making you feel harassed and attacked and destroyed? And all those words that Paul uses. What seems to be doing that for you at the moment or has in the past? I can think of a long list, folks, and I'm sure you can too. And we mentioned a few among the blokes on Friday night. Got pretty quiet then. Bad relationship, bad disease, bad body, troubled mind, anxious spirit, betrayed by a respected person, called unfair names, believed to be someone that you're not, or to have done something that you haven't, misunderstood, unwanted, not loved as you once used to be, a world of troubles on your radio and on your TV screen, in your lounge room, watching that person disintegrate before your very eyes, knowing you can do nothing about it. And the list just goes on and on, I suspect. And there'd be many experiences here of what it is to feel like giving up or the things that caused you to lose heart. But there's an even more important question than what makes you lose heart. For the Christian person, the next question is even more important. And the question is this: where do you go when you lose heart? That's the question. To whom do you go when you lose heart? It is not what happens to us that defines us, who we are and our future. It is who we go to that defines ourselves and our future. Very important question. Here's where Paul goes. He says that we're crackpots. He says that we're very fragile clay pots, and the kind of pot that he's talking about is not the beautiful, ornate, fired, kilned, colourful, wonderful planter. He's talking about the one you whack on the stove to mash the spuds in. He's talking about that kind of pot, your basic cooking, brown, boring pot. Very useful, like your dishcloth. Cheap, but very useful. He says that we're like that. The treasure, though, inside the pot is of infinite value that you can't buy anywhere. Anywhere. You can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't achieve it. All you can do is glory in it and receive it. It's the gold of Jesus and his grace and his love for people who can't earn it, don't deserve it, can't win it, but get it because he gives it. That's the gold. That's the gold that you, crackpot, you carry gold. You are a crackpot carrying the golden gospel. That's you as a baptized member of the family of God. And we are fragile, no doubt about that. Clay pots are fragile. You drop them on a tiled floor, you know what it's like. We get mashed around and we get knocked around and we get cracks in our exterior. We didn't achieve any of this, of course. This had to be given to us. We didn't fill ourselves up with the gold. We were filled up by him with his gold. Our value, though, now is in carrying the gold. And as long as we carry the gold, even crackpots are infinitely valuable. Through God's mercy, we have this ministry, no less. So we were given this golden load and this wonderful light. And the thing that's amazing, when you think about it, there's no way that the light of Jesus can get out of the pot unless it's cracked. Because the cracks are where the light shines through. There's a great song by Switchfoot that's titled just that, Where the Light Shines Through. Isn't it true in life that when you've gone through a horrible experience and your exterior has been cracked, that you become infinitely useful for the person who's just going through the same thing now? Isn't that how it works? The light comes through your cracks. So I guess we don't try and cover them up. We don't need to cover them up. We just need to acknowledge who we really are. We're crackpots carrying the golden gospel. So, seems to me, we have this treasure in jars of clay, and the order, the reason why we have this gold within us placed by the Lord Jesus, is so that they get to see him, not us. Just like an umpire, a good umpire of a game, you never want to see the umpire. You want to see the game. And a good umpire is an umpire that is never even think about the umpire because he's so good. You know, or an artist who's painting this magnificent piece. You don't want to see the artist, you want to see the piece. Or like a coach who's coaching a team. You don't want to see the coach, you want to see the team. That's us. As we reseed, he continues to shine brighter through our foibles and our weaknesses, and mainly through them, don't you know? Not our power and our might and all that stuff. So it seems to me, he's the one to be seen, not me or you. We are engaged in this church life, this ministry by his grace we have received, reconciliation, bearing witness, nurturing faith in young people and children and each other, all people. We're engaged in sharing the love and hope of Jesus, our mission, because we want with all our heart for them to hear him and to see him, not us. Not us at all. So it seems to me there's a great reward in all of this for crackpots like you and me. We get the chance of hearing God speak to other people through us. That's a buzz. That's a real buzz, man. That's what I'm living for. It's cool to know that God's using you and your cracks and your foibles and your weaknesses to bring his healing and his life to people in whatever way. I also think we can be quite bold, can't we? Because we don't have to hide all the cracks. We just say, yep, that's me, man. I've got plenty of foibles. Would you like me to list them, just in case you've missed a couple? You know, I've got plenty of foibles, and who cares? Who cares? I'm free in the gospel. I've got gold inside me, and I didn't put it there. He put it there. Would you like some? Would you like some, mate? And I guess the other thing, to say today at least for this Sunday, this community of faith, we won't lose heart, will we? Come on, we won't lose heart. Even if you walked in feeling that way, I pray you'll walk out, no, it's all worth it, it's all worth it. I'm a crackpot, let's go. We're crackpots together in a community. So speak and do without using any deception, says Paul. Don't distort his words and make them up for yourself. Don't manipulate people, no need to lie about stuff, no need to avoid difficult issues or pretend that you know it all, no need. Just be who you are, cracks and all. And carry the golden gospel in your body, don't let it go. That's the golden gospel, and that gives you your worth and your purpose and your great joy. Don't lose heart, don't lose heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which is beyond our human understanding or origin, keep you, crackpot, in the golden gospel. Amen. The costly healing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is always available to you, you crackpot. The immovable love of God will undergird your daily living. The unshakable power and help of the Holy Spirit will always be there for you to seek. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, your heavenly Father, and the fellowship and the power of the Spirit be with you and bless you today. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Pastor Adrian serves at St. Petri Lutheran Church, Nuriutpa, Barossa Valley, South Australia. stpetri.org.au